Live Business Podcast is brought to you by Noosey. Online proposals made simple for creative businesses. Visit noosey.com to learn how your business can start winning more projects today.
Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Creative Business Podcast, the podcast that aims to help you build a better, more successful creative business. This week, I spoke to Rhonda Page, and Rhonda has worked behind the scenes as a designer, creative director, brand strategist, and business development professional at branding and design firms for over 25 years. She's worked with brands such as Coca-Cola, General Electric, Kraft, Nestle, the list goes on and on. Right now, Rhonda focuses her time on helping designers to achieve growth through her products, courses, and coaching sessions. So I thought it'd be a great idea to get Rhonda on the podcast today to talk to us a little about her latest course, the latest presentation she gave at IGA, the American Institute of Graphic Arts, called Thinking Like a Client. So without giving too much away, I'm just going to jump straight into the interview and we can take it from there. Well, thank you for joining me today, Rhonda, on the Creative Business Podcast. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well, actually. Thank you. Let's jump straight in. You recently gave a presentation at the American Institute of Graphic Arts. And for anyone who doesn't know what that is, you need to Google that right now. And you gave a presentation called Thinking Like a Client. Can you explain what it means to be thinking like a client and actually how it could benefit us as creatives, as creative businesses?
Well, these days, a lot of creative businesses, especially graphic designers, have become a commodity. And clients can't tell the difference between one designer, one firm, and another. So the idea of thinking like a client is to become more of a strategic partner to clients by learning how they think. So, you know, they look at you as a supplier or a vendor, and when they do that, they're just calling for a quote or a proposal for a piece of work that needs to be executed. But when you're a strategic partner, they call to share their objectives for the next quarter, brainstorm ideas to solve a problem, or ask for help making a business decision. So you're much more valued. You're much more invested in their success. The relationship's deep, respectful, and authentic. And your client also becomes an evangelist for you who's going to freely endorse you, and you're going to get business more easily and more business from those clients.
Okay, so obviously thinking like a client is something we want to be doing, right?
Right.
We all want to be working more regularly and making more money and getting more referrals. So I know there's several strategies that you mentioned in that presentation to help us think like a client. So should we run through them? Run through some of them?
Yes.
Okay, then. So where do we begin?
So the first strategy that I talked about was getting out of judgment. Mm-hmm. And this strategy alone, if you use this strategy alone, it'll completely change your business and probably your life in a good way.
Okay.
So, you know, start to notice how many judgments you have about clients and other people. We did an exercise in the workshop where we had people write down how many judgments they had since they walked in the door for that workshop. And it was amazing how many people were judging everything, judging me, what I was wearing, you know, all the things that we judge. And, you know, particularly as creative people, we judge when the clients don't get it. We judge when they want something that's going to look ugly. You know, we judge all the time, saying what bad taste they have and that they don't know what they're doing.
Never heard that one before.
Yeah, I bet. So the thing about judgment is it keeps people stuck. And if you think about places where you've been stuck in your life and go back to how you judged that, saying a client isn't a nice person, and then going and talking about it all over the place to family and friends, and you're just almost reinforcing more of that same situation and keeping yourself stuck. And the truth is, you really have no idea where clients are coming from, especially if a client spoke to you in a less nice way, Who knows what they're going through? Everybody's going through stuff. They could be going through a divorce. They could have had an argument with their spouse. They might be having problems with their kids. I mean, they're just people too, going through the same stuff as everybody else. And then, you know, we go and judge them and start saying all these nasty things and making assumptions. And it just keeps you stuck where you are. So it's a huge thing in all relationships, judgment. And it's something to start practicing and noticing. And then especially with the creative crowd, self-judgment is huge, like judging yourself that you're not good enough and your ideas aren't good enough and you're not as good as the other person and those kind of things. So start to notice judgment. You could put a rubber band around your wrist and like tug at it every time you judge, and you'll start to notice that you're doing it a lot. And then you can start to cut back on that. And the other thing to do is just say to yourself, that's an interesting point of view. Because really, everything's just an interesting point of view. Everyone has a different point of view about things. And there really is no right and wrong out there. It's just all an interesting point of view. You don't have to try and change anyone's point of view.
Could this come back to the sort of the very stereotypical sort of comments about, oh, well, make the logo bigger. Oh, why are they saying that? They're saying that because they don't have a clue about design. You know, this is what we think.
Right.
We're thinking, oh, they don't know what they're talking about, do they? You know.
Exactly.
And it's true. I mean, it's we make these judgments continually, especially when we are working with clients that perhaps aren't our ideal client, or perhaps don't fall into the category of someone that we would think would be our ideal client. And I think it is so easy to jump into that continual loop. And I think once you get into that loop, as you said, it's sort of self-propagating, isn't it? It's just you start to believing everything then. Everything's horrible. Oh, this is a terrible project. This is a terrible client. This is never going to work out.
Right. And you're putting out a lot of bad energy out there around yourself, really. You're not hurting anybody else.
Well, I think sometimes it can actually show as well on the outside towards the client. If you're in the situation where you do start getting into that negativity, I think sometimes if you're not careful, I mean, for me, like my wife will say, whatever I'm feeling, it shows on my face. I'm not the best sort of covering up things. So I think, you know, you have to be very careful with that. I think it's such a valuable lesson there that, you know, get out of that habit or you can get yourself into real trouble.
Yeah. And strategy number two is understanding more about business. So once you use strategy number two, strategy number one will become easier because you'll understand more where the client's coming from. So I didn't really understand this until I was on the management team in a business. And, you know, I guess it hit home. You know, everybody knows that all businesses exist to make a profit, but it really hits home when you're actually in a business. And, you know, businesses, they need to basically bring in more money than they pay out in expenses, and that's profit. And I think that's something a lot of creative people it's just not on the radar. They don't keep that in mind. So before I was really in business, I would think, oh, a $50 million company, great. They've got tons of money to spend on design. Now that I'm more aware, it's like it doesn't mean a thing if they have a $50 million company. It's all about how profitable they are, because they may have $55 million in expenses and be operating at a loss and not be able to pay their suppliers. So it's interesting to start becoming more aware of your clients' businesses. Public companies have annual reports. Everybody's designed them, but do you really understand what they are and what any of the numbers mean? If it's a private company, you can always ask, is the business profitable? Find out if it's financially healthy. And even people should start to learn more about their own business and look at their own profit and loss statements and really understand that. Many years ago, I was the account director. and I was working with a designer, we'll just call him Fred for now, keep it, not to accuse the innocent, yes, or whatever saying is.
Change the names to protect the innocent.
Yeah, to protect the innocent. Let's say Fred and I were working on this annual report, and we were pretty far down the path, and print quotes had been presented to the client and approved, and Fred changed his mind about the paper. And he came to me and said, I want to choose a different paper, and it's going to be an extra $2,500. Do you think they'd mind? And my response was, well, would you mind? I told someone that it was going to be a certain price, and then you all of a sudden said it's going to be an extra $2,500. He's like, yeah, I'd probably mind. And I'm like, look at it as money out of your pocket. They have a certain amount of money to spend. Pretend you're in their situation and start to think about it more that way. Then you're thinking like a client. Another example is I was on the management team of this company a couple years ago, and we were designing a retail store, and I was in charge of all the branding and the marketing and worked with the designers and everything. We needed the store opened, and the designers were really pushing for a hand-painted mural under the eating counter for $3,500. We needed foot traffic, we needed signage on the street, we needed marketing, we needed customers. And the mural was not a priority. And they were really pushing, talking about what an impact it would make. And really, like when I'm telling this story, logically, do you really think that would make an impact when we needed so many other things? So start thinking what it might be like from the client side. Pretend that it's money coming out of your pocket. Would you spend money on these things?
I think a lot of that, and I bet the guys who were pushing for the mural as well were pushing for it because it was design work, as opposed to what was actually going to impact the client's business. So exactly what you're saying, you know, think about the money and how it's going to impact the business. Because I know, especially a lot of designers, obviously we like to design. So you want to push things that are going to mean there's going to be more design. You know, right. We're going to design this for you. We're going to design that. It's going to look fantastic. It's going to do this. It's going to do that. But, you know, but is it actually going to help, you know, your client's business, or is it just going to look great?
Exactly. And that brings me to strategy three, get in their corner. I interviewed a marketing director recently, and he said that if a designer ever asked his business objectives, he'd be in shock, but he'd also love it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's terrible.
I know. He said no one ever has asked his financial objectives, his business objectives. He's been a marketing director for 20 years.
That is unbelievable.
Yeah. So that's a huge, huge learning for designers. Every business has problems to solve. And to become more of a partner, you need to help your clients solve the problem. And again, most problems revolve around increased sales or increased profit. So to start thinking like a client, you need to ask questions like, how can I truly support you? You know, what's your goal? Is there anything we can measure? Are there any results we can measure? Find out more like about that client and the project. Do a discovery session when you start every project. And really find out what the situation is there for real. Like, we need a brochure. Why? Why do you need it? What are you trying to accomplish? What's the goal here? You need more sales? How much sales? Is there a way we can measure this? Are we going to do this brochure? Why don't we put a call to action? So if they bring it into the store and hand it in, they get something. And that way we can measure the success of this. So really, really getting more in their corner and focusing more on their success.
Why do you
they're
think
not,
more,
sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just going to say, why do you think more creative businesses don't do this then?
I think we're just not, I mean, my background is design, and we're not taught that at all. We're taught about design. We're taught about fonts and colors and organizing type in a certain way. And, you know, I think maybe now they're starting to teach more business skills, but I think it's more just that we were never taught that. And we, you know, most of us have been kind of winging it, trying to figure out business. But now the problem is that design's become a commodity and clients are just going for the cheapest price. We need to like up our game and understand more about business and really help clients in order for them to value us. And the other thing is they're not up at night worried about design. They're worried about keeping their job, getting a promotion, making a launch, show some good numbers. So, you know, start to be more aware of the concerns that they're having and the things that they're thinking about, and then how you can support them.
And I guess you can only do that by, as you say, you know, getting in their corner and asking them actually what those goals are or what their,
right,
their
exactly.
concerns are.
Exactly. And, you know, sometimes there's pushback, like, why do you need to know?
Yeah.
And and I give the sort of the phrase, so that I can help you better, just answer these couple of questions for me. So who wouldn't want to be helped, right?
Yeah, and I think the pushback as well also comes from the same lack of education from the designers and design agencies that have existed for the last few decades, because they wouldn't ordinarily be asking those questions, as you said, you know? That guy that's been 25 years as a marketing director and nobody has ever asked him what his goals are.
Mm-hmm. So strategy number four, when you disagree, say so. And a lot of people are afraid to do this, but here's the thing. And this is part of becoming, you know, respected and having an authentic relationship with clients. You're all going to be doing discovery sessions from now on. When your client's wife says the logo should be hot pink, you don't say, you know, that's going to be ugly and she has no taste, you know, going into your judgment thing. But instead, you're going to say, from what you've told me about what you're trying to accomplish here, if you choose hot pink as the color, it's not going to get you the result you're looking for. So that's much more business speak that a client would take into consideration, not it's going to be ugly if you do that. Be real with people. Don't be afraid to speak up. Say what's on your mind, but focus on business objectives. And remember the talent and experience that you have, you know, when you start going into self-doubt. You have talent, you have experience, you've studied, you've trained. Draw on that and then make the business case.
Yeah, I think this one definitely takes a good while to learn, doesn't it? That that response without sounding offended or without trying to offend, relying on that knowledge that you, as you said, you know, you've been learning over the last number of years.
Yeah, and you go back to your discovery session notes. Here's what they said. Like, we're just play back to them. You know what? This is what I heard you say. Is this still correct? And then they'll say, yeah. And then you go from there. Well, then I don't think it's going to work. So you're really on their team. You're in their court. You're really helping them.
Sounding pretty good so far. I mean, what about once you've got these sort of pillar stones down and nailed? What about when things just don't work out anyway?
Well, you have strategy number five is learn from the duds. If it's just completely going off the rails, pay attention. You know, everybody attracts the experiences that are happening in their life. So if something's not going well, it's because you created that in your life and there's something you need to learn from it. So, you know, stop playing the victim, get out of judgment, and then ask yourself, what do I need to learn here? What do I need to change? What else is possible? So just start looking at the not as good situations as learning experiences and asking yourself the important questions so that you can attract something better into your life. The other thing, we did this exercise in the workshop where people looked at their personal relationships and rated each one on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is a nightmare and 10 is great. And then I had them do it with their clients. And people noticed that it was very aligned, their personal relationships and their clients. It was very aligned, the kinds of relationships they're attracting into their life. So if you have a lot of nightmare clients, don't play the victim and say, oh my God, why have I got all these nightmare clients? This is so brutal. I keep attracting these people. you know, realize that you attracted this and you're going to need to change something. You know, you're going to need to shift something to change it. That makes sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So if we've got these sort of five principles of, you know, how we can begin to think like a client, which one of these do you think is the easiest, or which one do you see getting messed up most often, you know, because we do our best to learn as we evolve, you know, as we become better designers, better business people. But for example, I mean, the one that I would always sort of have more difficulty with was the judgment thing, you know. I would always try and keep it to myself, but I would find myself tripping up on that. Which, I mean, in your experience, which one is the one that people struggle with most?
I think the judgment thing.
Okay.
Because so I'm not alone then. that really can trip up a relationship, any relationship. When what you focus on grows. So, you know, you focus on what bad tastes they are, and it just grows. And, you know, you don't accomplish anything, and then they don't hire you for the next project because you kept butting up against them. And it's with anything in life. Practice that. Notice. Oh, here I go. I'm judging again. Judging again. It can happen a lot, like when you start to notice.
Mm-hmm.
Quite amazing.
So as we're talking about thinking like a client, you know, we need to talk about the topic of money, because you mentioned it before, you know, ask yourself, how would the client feel about spending this extra budget that hadn't been put towards this project, whatever that might have been. And obviously clients are always wanting to pay as little as possible, while we're obviously always looking to make as much profit as possible as well. So how can we apply the thinking like a client techniques to the whole matter of budget?
I think, you know, again, it's about open communication and really knowing what they're trying to accomplish. I have a great example from my friend who's a dentist. A guy came to see him. Well, it exemplifies judgment as well as budgetary stuff. Guy came to see him with no teeth. He had one tooth. And right away he judged and thought, well, this guy doesn't have any money to pay for any of these services. And so he judged wrong, and he learned that you don't judge. You never know. People, if it's super important to them, they find the money. And it's like, if you make it super important, like they're really going to have a lot of success, they'll find the money to do it. And the other thing is, you know, this dentist friend of mine, he offers the options. He listens to what the problem is and then says, okay, so you've got one tooth. Here are the options. You want a full set of teeth? We can do dentures. We can do this. We can do that. We can do implants. You know, it depends on what kind of solution you want and what your budget is. And then just let the person talk. So it's like, listen to the problem, offer various solutions, work together, come together on, okay, let's make this work for both of us. And use that kind of language. Let's make it work for both of us. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do that? I teach a course called the Business Development Breakthrough. And we do a lot of that kind of discussion of like, okay, how can we make it work for both of us? And what would be good for you? And okay, you've got this much money. Here are the options. Let's like lay this out and see what it could look like. So it becomes very collaborative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can think back to my past as a freelancer where a client has come back and said, no, what you quoted is beyond what I can work with. And I've just flat said, okay, then fine, bye.
You know? Yeah.
And then there hasn't been that back and forth, you know?
Right. And I've seen that too. Yeah, it's like, fine, bye. Or I've also seen the opposite of like, okay, we have $2,500 for our logo, and you know, would you? I know you quoted 10, but will you do it for 2,500? And people will go, okay, fine. So that doesn't work either.
No.
It's more, okay, with this budget, either I'm going to refer you to somebody else who can do it for this, or let's really talk about this. You know, say we only gave you one option. You know, different, like it's have a conversation.
Yeah, I get the feeling I speak to a lot of freelancers, obviously, through Nusi, and I get the feeling a lot of times that the conversation part, the communication part is what's missing from a lot of people's careers, businesses,
yeah.
Should we say, the freelance business. It's because we rely so much on the email form of contact now. You know, hey, I need a website, or hey, I need this done. You know, the questionnaire goes out, comes back, they don't match, you know, what the freelancer is looking for, the budget doesn't match, and that's where it ends. The communication is at a minimum.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you could just give one piece of advice to creative businesses out there, creative consultants, freelancers who are struggling to empathize or to get on side of the client and therefore help their business grow, what would it be?
I think learn as much as you can about business. Like, start to understand what it's like from their perspective. And you can even go out and interview some of your clients just to learn more. Just say, I'm doing some strategic planning. I want to understand more about your business. Do you mind if I interview you for 15 minutes? So just learn what it's like on the other side. Try to really understand that, and it could make all the difference and get a judgment.
that's fantastic. I genuinely hope that a lot more freelancers start to do that, because the change in their business is going to be huge. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining me today, Rhonda. If folks want to find out more about what you're up to and how they can get in touch, where should they go and find you?
RhondaPage.com.
And that everything they need is right there, yeah?
Yeah.
All right, then. Well, thank you so much, Rhonda. You have a great day, okay?
Okay, you too.
Cheers, then. Definitely go and check out Rhonda's webpage. And of course, you know, if you have any questions for her, I'm sure she'd love to hear from you. So definitely go and have a look and see what Rhonda's got on offer. I know she's helping an awful lot of people at the moment. So I hope you're enjoying the podcast. You know, I'd love to hear from you if you have any thoughts or any ideas for interviewees, for topics you'd like to hear discussed. You know, you can send me an email at podcast@nusi.com. So if you are enjoying the podcast, I'd love for you to leave a review on iTunes. You know, just open it up, click on those stars and leave a few words if you like. You know, it helps us to get more visibility and for more people to hear about the podcast. So I hope you have a great week. I'll be back the same time again next week. Good luck. Bye-bye.